Hi Tony, how you doing? I just wondered one thing after the last visit to Southend. What's a pork bender?
I'm trying something. Oh, that just sounds so wrong. Welcome back to the Retro Resistance Podcast. It is now me, the God of Sexiness. Yeah, I wish. ZX Mechstar. Joining me this week, Fortnite, is the man, the legend, that is...
Hi, I'm Malk1976.
That whole port bender thing. How could they get away with doing that?
Well, you see, when we was in Wimpy's, because I didn't actually order any food, did I? I just had a milkshake.
There we are, desserts.
I was looking in the menu, because I remember years ago, my little brother pointed it out, because there used to be a bowling alley, I think it's still there, where I come from in the Neaton, and they had a Wimpy's in it, and they had a big sign saying Bender in a Bun, and my little brother noticed it. When I was at Wimpy's round here, lots of long ago, I was looking in the menu for it, and I found it, and I thought I'd say it when we was at Southend, because I didn't even know what one was, or, you know what I mean? It's something that you wouldn't think they'd put on there because it might offend people.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when you look at it in this day and age.
Exactly.
You're sitting there. You can imagine a gay man walking in, sitting there and be smelling there. Hey, look, it's the bender in a bun. And you're like, oh, good Lord.
It's sort of like a pork burger or something, but I've never actually tried it.
It's a frankfurter, basically. They just cut it up and they just...
And call it a bender.
Yeah. Because just because they put it in a ring...
Yeah,
that's why they call it the it's not even bent, it's circular.
Exactly, so that doesn't make any sense, really.
Exactly, it's like, so there you go, people. The food outlet known as Wimpy out there offending homosexuals everywhere. Like I say, I really do think they should rethink of their branding with that. They really, really should.
I wonder if they had that years ago.
I'm not sure. That they probably called it something else.
Because there used to be loads of Wimpies, didn't they?
But I do think that it was bought out by it was Burger King. I believe it was. Perhaps they just wanted some little subsidiary branch they can play around on.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I say, that was down in Southend where we got our asses handed to us.
Yeah, the videos are up now. Have you watched them, Tony?
Yeah, I have, and quite a few of my friends having a laugh at me for being on the DDR machine.
Yeah, well, like Andy said, they're for girls, really.
Yeah, says the man that won't go on it and do it himself.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
I know, but he knew he'd lose a point to us if he played me at it, so...
Yeah.
That could have been the only one we could have got a point back on, and no, he...
Yeah. It's a good job we didn't play point blank, because no one would have won that, because the guns were totally knackered, weren't they?
Oh, the sights of them were just completely off. It makes me glad that I was playing the Silent Hill one and they were working on that one, because I was sitting there dual-wielding, wasn't I?
Yeah, and when I played House of Dead 3, that didn't even work, neither.
Did it not?
No. Just wouldn't recognise a gun. I kept firing it, and it wouldn't reload or anything.
Well, was you actually pumping on the handle?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so it's broken then. Hi, welcome to Southend. We've got arcades, but they don't work.
Yeah, and one of the points we lost on Daytona, the gear wouldn't shift into fourth.
So keep that as a lesson, Malk. Always play an automatic.
Yeah, well, I blame Steve Benway for that, because on his videos, he always says manual gears. And on Daytona, it's definitely easier with manual gears.
You're taking Steve too much to heart, you really are.
Well, on the first track, the only one that people usually play... the only bit you've got shift down gear to slow down, basically, is about him with Sonic.
Yeah.
The rest of it, you can go around pretty much full speed.
I know, but I think we were just happy that we found Daytona.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And the classic Simpsons arcade machine, that was great.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yep, and you even have go on the track and field as well.
Yeah, track and field's good as well.
Yeah. I was very surprised, because that was actually an original machine, wasn't it?
Yeah, like you said before, it had the actual thing on it.
Yeah, the serial code was up in the corner. Again, that was big surprise for me to see that there. And I'm like, wow. And you can see where the decals were beginning to peel off and things were being scrubbed out. But that machine must be coming on, wow, nearly 30-plus years old.
Yeah, it's got to be. I don't know what year Track and Field come out, but I know it's an old one. That's an hard game to do, because I'm doing all Konami games on the 8-Bit Wars now, and then I'm going to upload the whole lot as a Konami season on Retro Asylum. But track and field is complete crap on all three systems.
Well, you would have thought it would have been all that bad, especially since Hypersports was so good.
Exactly, and on the Spectrum and Amstrad, it was done by Ocean as well, and it's got no sense of speed whatsoever when you're running. It's rubbish. You played it?
I've not played that one, no, because I really much...
It's terrible.
But you've got to remember, it's the way they do the graphics in, isn't it? It's like the character doesn't move, the scenery's moving, isn't it?
Yeah, and it don't seem like they're running at any speed.
I know. When you sit there, it's like, that's what you get for having low frames of animation, isn't it?
Yeah, it's rubbish. Terrible.
Well, but like I say, the arcade machine is good.
Oh, yeah, definitely. One of my favourites.
But you were a bit gutted, you couldn't do your little cheat with rubbing your fingers across.
No, because some bastards put something between the buttons on them.
I think Konami must have realised earlier on that people were going to cheat like that. So it's like, aha, we will stop them by doing this.
Was that out first, or was it Hypersports that come out first? I'm not sure.
I think it was... they must have been out rough for about the same time. It wouldn't have been too hard to release two in a year. But I digest. Yeah. So, I digress. Well, let's move along. We shan't reiterate the fact we got our asses handed to us at Southend. It happened. We're not going to deny it, are we, mate?
No, that's it. So, Shane didn't have more games, really.
True. Can you imagine if we ever go down again, they'll probably have even less.
Yeah, probably. I'm trying to find somewhere else that's got loads of games.
Well, are you with me? We'll go hijack the Pac-Man machine.
Apparently, Walton on the Naze has got like a lot. I was supposed to go down there last time, but I didn't go in the end. But I'm going to go down because that's quite near as well. And if they've got loads, I'll try and record some videos or whatever, or find out what games I've got. And if they've got a lot more, maybe we could go there one time.
Oh, definitely. And anywhere we could go hunting to find some arcades, and we will be there because I think we're all going to be players as well this year, aren't we?
Yeah, over in well, yeah. More, yep. I've just got to try and find out how I'm going to get there.
I'm travelling overnight by bus, me, or by coach. I'm going to sleep on the coach, wake up when I get there, and then just hang around until it's time to go, and then be on the coach for midnight and back in London by about 4 or 5 in the morning.
All right.
Then probably collapse and die of lack of sleep. So, I'm actually happy I'm on my 5 days off work then, so.
Yeah, I've got a holiday then. Hey. I've got a holiday, so.
Nice. Well, I might have my own place by then, so if push comes to shove, you come crash at my place.
Yeah.
Cool. Sounds good. Oh, pardon me. Right, moving along. Now, time for the infamous question we always ask each other. What have you been up to, mate?
Me? I've been playing, again, lots of driving games on the 360, because I've got a 360 steering wheel, like I said on the podcast I done with Andy last time. Mainly Daytona and that, and I'll beat pretty much all my friends' scores on Daytona, which includes Andy's. completed The Simpsons the other day, and I honestly can't see the difference between the Japanese version of it and the American one. Unless it's some sort of subtle difference, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like I say, you really need to look very deep at this one. But you could just imagine all their names coming up in Japanese. But they didn't use different voice tones or anything else like that.
No, it's still got all the proper voices, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Can you imagine Homer Simpson? Well, they had the episode of The Simpsons where they did actually lay into Homer through being Japanese with the Mr. Sparkle one, wasn't it?
I don't think I've seen that. I stopped watching The Simpsons after they stopped putting them on... Well, saying that, I stopped watching them when they was on BBC Two because they kept repeating them all the time. Yeah. And I've seen ones on there. This is like when I was 28 or something. I've seen episodes on there that I'd seen when I was about 15. So that's how bad they was repeating them.
Oh, that's just scary. As far as I stopped watching The Simpsons when it stopped being funny, which was about 15 years ago.
Yeah, they got to the stage where that's what I think. I mean, I do like The Simpsons, don't get me wrong, but I do think there's better cartoons. Say, like South Park, for instance. Mm. They're still funny, and they do an episode of South Park a week. In 7 days, everything animated, the voices a lot. Whereas I think it takes them a lot longer to do The Simpsons.
Yeah, it's true. But you remember The Simpsons, you probably got all the people wanting big money.
Yeah.
You will pay.
my mate was saying that the animations and the drawings are much better on The Simpsons, but I honestly don't think they're particularly good on that, neither.
No, it's still very simplistic. Very.
Yeah, that's it.
But if you want to save The Simpsons, do one of two things. Either make it funny again, or take it off the air. That's all I can say.
I think they should make a movie, because I reckon, you know, it'd be perfect to play Homer Simpson.
Who?
Bruce Willis. you watch Die Hard 2 and that, and you watch old episodes of Simpsons where it's got Homer thinking back when he was young. You see how his hair is when he started losing it. It was like just how Bruce Willis is in Die Hard 2.
That's
all I ever think of when I watch any of the Die Hard films, Homer Simpson. Oh.
You're having weird and allured fantasies of Homer Simpsons. That's not good for you, mate.
I've done a search at Google once and someone else said that. Oh, don't he look like Bruce Willis?
No, sorry, Peter Griffin's my hero, but we're getting off topic. So you've been going crazy on your racing games still?
Yeah, and I've been playing a lot of games on MAME as well. I did record a couple of playthrough videos on the Mega Drive emulator, Midnight Resistance, and Double Dragon. I've been trying to do that, Ghosts and Goblins on a Commodore 64, and get the fourth stage now without losing. Well, and then I can't get any further. So I've done better since the last podcast, but I will definitely be able to complete it eventually.
Eventually, and by
the game's only about 30-odd years old, ain't it?
Oh, that is true. And by the time the episode 20 comes around, guys, he still went and finished it.
So no, it's a difficult game. I can't complete it on any version or even the arcade.
Put the cheat file in MAME.
I know on the Amiga you can have it so you can't die at all. You just don't lose your armour. But then you can still die by falling off the sides and that.
Yeah, that's true, and because there's so many fiddly bits in that game, you can easily get yourself pinged off the side. It's like, you have infinite armour, yeah, but we're still going to get you this way. But alongside that, what have I been up to? I've been sitting around on my Android phone, and on Steam the other week, they were selling Transformers War for Cybertron for about £3. I saw that, I had some credit on my Steam account, and I bought that one with both greedy little hands. And you know what, mate? It's been a fucking great game. It really, really has.
I don't think I've ever heard of it.
Well, basically, you've got the Michael Bay version of the Transformers games, and just generally, they just suck.
Yeah.
Big time. But this one was one that wasn't in continuity with the films. This was one that was totally released independently. Mate, it's absolutely awesome. The Transformers have got a sort of Michael Bay sort of design, but more simplified.
Yeah.
So you know exactly what they look like and they'd be familiar. But the whole aspect I love about the game is their characteristics are of the original G1 Transformers from the very first series.
Oh, yeah.
So they've got that sort of look, but G1 personality. And it's just a great, great blend. I'm about two-thirds of the way through the Decepticon campaign. But you look at the whole setup. When you play into teams of three, and you choose which one of the three people that are on it. Now, like the first one, you get a choice between Megatron, Brawn, and another one, who I can't remember who it was. So you choose which one, and then you play the storyline out as you go through the stage. The next level, get Starscream, Thundercracker, and Skywarp. So again, these are all the predominant names from the original series. What you've also got is, you know, during the original series, all the sort of banter which you have between the characters when they're fighting.
Yeah.
You've got that with this as well. It's great because Starscream sounds like Starscream from G1.
But have you seen any of Swainy's videos? He does like good impressions of them.
He does do good impressions. I do admit Swainy does do some good impressions of that one. Shameless plug.
To be fair, like, I don't think much of the Michael Bay films. The only thing that was any good with them, I thought, was that bird, I can't remember what her name is, who got the sack, and I don't think she's in the third one or the second one, I'm not sure, because I haven't even seen the second one, because she said Michael Bay was like Hitler.
No, Hitler was like Hitler. Michael Bay was not like Hitler. He just wanted things done, and he liked to do it with big explosions.
Yeah, more about special effects. There's that episode of South Park about that, like, where they get Michael Bay to sort of think of something how the terrorists took over, like, Imagination Land, and he's like, oh, we'll start off with a big CGI building, and it pans down to an explosion, and they're like, no, that's special effects, that's not storytelling, and he's like, oh, what's the difference?
that's the thing. I swear to God, Michael Bay gets a hard-on for explosions. I really, really do. He must sit there and thinking, oh, yes, gotta have another one there.
And apparently he's ruining Ninja Turtles next.
Oh, no.
Space mutants or some shit.
Don't even go there.
Oh, I'm not going to watch. Well, I will watch it because I like the Turtles, but I'll be probably disappointed.
I'd imagine we'd all be very disappointed. So, Mr. Bay, here's a word of warning from you from the Resistance. Do not fuck this up. We already know how you've already changed it once, but if you change anything else on it, I swear to God we will come and lynch you.
Well, it's like we was on about, like, computer game movies, yeah? Or something that's got, like, you basically got the fucking script there. Like, converting a movie to a game to a movie. It's the same with something like that. Something that's been around for ages, like Ninja Turtles. Why do they need to change things and mess around with them and make them basically nothing like they're supposed to be.
Exactly. That gets the whole entire point to it. You look at the original Ninja Turtles, the updates followed the original theory back to the comic book, and every other form all went back to the fact that they are mutants.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are not aliens from outer space. Because then that takes the whole mutant process, and then you should get his teenage alien Ninja Turtles.
And then how does that come about with Splinter as well? With how, like, he changes... Well, I know in the film he don't change from a man to a mutant rat, but in the cartoon he does, don't he? And he finds the turtles, and that's why they change, because he touched them, and he touched the mutagen.
Yeah, and then they Michael Bay's got a lot to answer for, put it that way. But other than that, the Transformers game on the PC, it's also on the Xbox and the PlayStation. War for Cybertron, you could probably pick up dirt cheap. I recommend it. I really do. So that's a five grenades out of five from the Resistance. Definitely go get hold of that game. Now back to something old school. And I've been sitting there playing on my little Android phone, and I found a little game called Stardash on it.
Oh,
now,
yeah, what's that like?
Well, it's a nice, simple sort of quick dash sort of platform game. Nice, simple, old school sort of stuff. Get from point A to point B. Sorted. Jump over the bad guys. But what really, really pulled me to this game was it looks like an old Game Boy game.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
And that was the best charm of it. You know those, like, when you were playing in the shops where they plugged the Game Boy into the TV and then you had it on the big sort of brownish sort of screen where you could look at it?
Yeah, that, like the Nintendo sort of thing you could get for the Super NES.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Oh, right, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's got a little little old school style tune playing while you're going running through the levels. It was just really, really good fun, and I'm just thinking, like, wow, this feels really, really retro. This is nice, and it is. It's a really nice little game. You could do the level straight, and then you get a star, extra star if you grab all the coins. You get another star if you do it at the time limit. And then hidden on each of the stages, there's a set of keys.
Yeah.
Then once you have all the keys, you can then access the stage's final one, and then before going on to the next world. But like I said, it's just the looks and the feel of it, it's just great. And the touchscreen control, which is the most important part for anything for a touchscreen game on a phone, is fantastic, because it's just left, right, and jump button.
Oh, that's all right, then.
Yeah, that's all there is to it, and it's not like some of your other touchscreen phones, you're like, trying to mash your screen.
Yeah, because I think, like, if they've just got really simple controls, like Space Invaders has only got left, right, and fire.
Yeah, and this is the same thing.
It does actually work on a mobile phone, whereas something with lots of controls, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, it does it, because it's just plainly annoying. But this just works perfectly. And it's a great little addition. And also, I do recommend anyone give it a go. If you've got an iPhone, it's available on the iTunes store for £1.49. Or if you've got an Android, you could get it for £1.39. Or there's a free edition with adverts. Pick your poison. Right. But I do recommend, like I did, throw a bit of cash towards the guy. He's done something good. And he updated it recently into a flip mode as well, which basically is running the level backwards. But hey, can't be too exasperant on that one, but
no.
But it works. So available on all your favourite sort of devices, no matter who you are.
Yeah, because I was thinking about getting one of those, what's it called? You know, like what Will's got?
The tablets.
Android tablet, yeah.
Yeah, it's all the stuff that runs on the marketplace will probably run on them anyway.
Because you can get some of them quite cheap.
Yeah, they are, because I think you can pick up an Android one for about £200. Or if you want to splash out, you get yourself an Apple one.
Well, I wouldn't get an Apple one anyway.
That's just for preference there on that one. But that's what I think we've both been up to of lately, and hey, we've been enjoying life as it is. Life as a gamer, it doesn't get any better than that, does it?
No.
No. Okay, so we're moving on. Now, What did we talk about last time we was on this podcast, mate?
Well, what we missed last time we done the Street Fighter podcast, which I think, to be fair, is the best one we've done so far.
Yeah, definitely is the best one we've done. And we missed out a hell of a lot. There was so much more we could talk about. Here's what we're going to do now. First, you went mooching around for the depths of arcade hell to find a couple of games that may have inspired Street Fighter, didn't you, mate?
Yeah, that's right. And from what I believe, the first ever fighting game came out 1984 by Data East, called Karate Champ, or better known in Japan as Karate Do, which means the way of the empty hand. Now, that was a game, which I bet Swaney knows this, that was originally made by Technos and actually, you know, released by Data East. It used two joysticks, and one you moved your man, and the other one, when you move them both together, you can do a different strikes, you know, different moves and that. And I myself think that that inspired all the fighting games afterwards, because there's loads of games that actually sort of ripped it off.
Yeah, you look at it this way, and it was strange to see a arcade machine that had like two joysticks at the time. So I'm not thinking it's like two joysticks, like you just end up spinning them in different directions. Don't you? It's like, oh, what's this thing? And then they came back and reminisced a few later and made Smash TV. That's the only other game I've seen with two joysticks.
Actually, Robotron, but I'm not sure what year that came. That may have been before Karate Champ. I don't know, about the same sort of time. Now, I'm sure someone will know that. To be fair, I've never played Robotron. But I know it's sort of like Smash TV type thing. You got to clear the whole screen, you know, basically. Yeah. And that uses two joysticks.
Yeah. Shh, we're in fighting games here. But there you go, Karate Champ was the first, and I never played Karate Champ either. So is it in MAME?
Yeah, it's in MAME. It's been working since the first time I ever used MAME, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
definitely worth checking out. As I say, the original developers that done Karate Champ later went on, when they was releasing games as Technos, to do Double Dragon, and I'm pretty sure Swainy would know that.
Oh, of course. Swainy is the Double Dragon god.
But they got Technos to release Double Dragon, didn't they? I don't know why. They didn't get Data East to do it, but... Oh, well. Anyway, moving on to the second game, which came out in the arcade in 1985, a year later, Yi-R Kung Fu.
I love that game. I love that game. It's... Oh, it's just a great game. But you found it first, matey, for the research? You tell us.
Well, that came out in 1985, as I said. That was by Konami. That's more, in a way, like Street Fighter 2, because you fight loads of different characters. You go through quite a few of them. I think there's about 12 or 13. I'm not 100% sure.
I'm just trying to count.
No, there's 10. I tell a lie, there's 10.
10.
I think there might
there's 11.
There might be more on some of the home versions of it. That's one of the first games I ever played on a Commodore 64. And like I said, I played in the arcade. That just had a joystick and two buttons on the arcade, a button for kick and a button for punch. And there's a brilliant version of it on Xbox Live, but you can have it, obviously, the original graphics like the arcade or other more modern ones. I've done an 8-bit wars on that not so long ago, and I do think that is, like, well, one of the first fighting games I ever played, before you started having International Karate and Exploding Fist and other games that sort of ripped it off.
Yes, very true. I think there was 11. I think there was 11 opponents on it. Was it the fat dude at the start? There was Star, Nuncha.
Buchu, Star, Nuncha, Pole, Fiddle, Chain, Club, Fan, Sword, Tom Fun, and then Blues. But there was another one on the home computer on the. I'm not sure which home computer version.
No, there wasn't one on the Spectrum or the Commodore.
It might be the Amstrad then. But this is what I'm just reading on, because I looked this one up as it goes, because I weren't 100% sure how many characters it was. But the worst versions of that, the MSX and the NES version, are nothing at all like what the arcade one are, for some reason.
They're just trying to be different. They're the little person in the background going, I want to be something different! And waving the hands, isn't it? And of course, as per usual, it doesn't work. See? Being different sometimes is not best.
But that is definitely a classic game. It's, I used to be able to complete it really easy on the Commodore 1. And then when I came to doing more video on it, I couldn't get very far on it at all.
Yeah, so especially the point where you look at characters like Pole, he cheats like an absolute crapper. Because if you try to attack him when he's coming towards you while he's shaking the pole, he'll hit you every time until all your energy's gone. And I'm just thinking, it's like, you cheap bastard.
And you can't block on neither of those two games.
No, you can't. There's no blocking here. This is real fighting. No blocking here. This will be the UFC of fighting for the day.
But unfortunately, there's no combos, neither.
No, there's not. But if it, the whole structure of Yi-R Kung Fu is, I don't think it needs the combos, because it's the nice one-hit strike system.
Yeah,
which really pans it and really sells it. So yeah, I like the one-hit system. And of course, if you're not quick enough to strike with your next hit, you'll get one back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think there was an intelligent part to this whole game. It was done really, really well. I know the home systems had to have a button to swap between punching and kicking on the systems, but I still don't think that stopped any of the home versions really being all that good, especially among the Spectrum, Amstrad and the Commodore versions. They were all pretty damn good.
Yeah, apparently, that's right.
apparently there's a version for the BBC as well. And
yeah, I've played that. That's pretty good. It's just a bit slower and it's got no music.
Yeah, but I think the graphics are quite colourful on it, though.
Yeah.
So they've done a good job with that one. And of course, the resolution being different from the arcade to the home system. I actually remember playing Yar Kung Fu on the original arcade machine now. Oh, that was too long ago. I must have been about 7 or 8 when I played that. Oh, that was just too long ago, that was. But there you go. I think that's some of the inspirations which made Capcom have a look, say, oh, you know, we could probably make a better game than this.
Yeah, and then in 1987, they did the game that you're going to talk about.
Which was Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Well, we spoke about Street Fighter enough in the previous one. Let's have a look.
What we didn't mention, basically, is like what I said, I don't understand the continue bit for it.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Why are you sitting there setting off a bomb because someone lost a fight? It would be if, like, Mike Tyson lost a fight in a boxing match and then he sat there and comes out with a bomb going, I could kill everybody! And so it's like, you all have 10 seconds to agree that I'm the winner and this fight to continue. It's just like, no.
That doesn't make any sense.
None at all. But mind you, they got it right with Street Fighter 2, didn't they?
Yeah.
So it's just great. Just to think that they got that so wrong. But amongst the Street Fighter franchise, Capcom also had some other fighting franchises that were run along as history went by. Starting off with the first one, Mac, what did you find as the first fighting series as well, which Capcom puked up alongside Street Fighter?
Well, they did the Marvel superheroes, but we're not going to really talk about that because I don't think much to that. They did the versus Marvel as well with
the Street Fighter characters.
Street Fighter characters as well. Yeah, and I think the first one was X-Men versus Street Fighter. Here
you go. Optic blast.
Street Fighter!
Indeed it was. That was the one where you beat Andy at the Trocadero, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
You know what the South End was? It was payback for that loss, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But tell us what you think about the... We'll start off with the X-Men versus Street Fighter.
Well, I've only ever played it on the PlayStation, and the PlayStation port of it's appalling, because it takes forever to load. You can't tag and swap character. It's got, like, hardly any frames of animation. But I have played the later sequels to it, and the other games actually on MAME, and they are a lot better.
It's one of the first lot that I think
you can tag, because you choose two characters and you can swap between them whenever you want.
Yeah, I remember because I first played X-Men vs Street Fighter on the PlayStation like you, and I didn't know about the tag section then. It wasn't until I was down the coast one year and I saw some people play it, and I saw people tagging in and out. I'm like, hey, that's not on the PlayStation version.
No, because if you did on the PlayStation, it'd have to load the character up. That's why I think they decided all this doesn't work and just cut that bit out. The Saturn one does. You can tag on the Saturn version of it, though.
Yeah, that's very strange, but I don't understand why the Saturn version was able to do it and not the PlayStation version.
Well, that's the thing, though. The Saturn could handle like those sort of games much better than the PlayStation could. Because the PlayStation, while it was like technically good for 3D stuff, was complete shit for doing anything 2D.
Yeah, that's where it did fall flat on its face. And next bit versus Street Fighter, you know, you first look at it, you think it's like, well, the Street Fighter characters kicking it off against the X-Men. When I first thought of this premise, I was like thinking it's like, yeah, they've got like fireballs and odds and end up with Street Fighter characters. What have the X-Men got? They've got the massive, great, big lasers and all these mutant powers. I was like, how are they actually going to transpose this for the poor Street Fighter characters? And then, of course, I sat there, did the Shinku Hadouken, and it was like, oh, no, again, like, looks like a particle beam flying out of Ryu's hands. I'm like, yeah. Wow. As I'm like, that is just crazy. And then they bumped up, then they rehashed Marvel superheroes, and they did Street Fighter versus Marvel superheroes. Then they went Top Daddy in the retro area for Marvel versus Capcom.
Yeah, which has even got Strider in it.
Yeah, Strider. That game had tried to dig out a few of their old characters, because Captain Commando was bought up in.
You can get Arthur as one of the characters that comes on to help you as well.
Yeah.
Ghosts and Goblins.
Yeah, it seems strange how many years down the future now Arthur's a main character in Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Yeah. Oh, that's a terrible game. That's one I wish I didn't get, actually.
Shh! Not retro! But yeah, so... And that was good. That also gave the premise for big bosses, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. There's... Have you seen Apocalypse?
Yeah.
He takes up the entire screen.
Yep, because you had Apocalypse in the first two. and then Marvel vs. Capcom was Onslaught.
Yeah, and then but they weren't that hard to beat. I think it's on, I'm not sure actually which one it is. It's Marvel Superheroes versus Street Fighter, where after you beat Apocalypse or whatever he's called, then you have to fight Cyber Akuma, who's like, I couldn't even beat him around.
Oh no, he's just incredibly cheap. And it also removed the essence of you having to fight who your partner was.
Yeah.
So I'll give him a bit of a hint, but Onslaught was just, that guy was just insane. He made Apocalypse look like a complete pussy. So, and that's just all I say that. If anybody wants to know what I'm talking about, or if you may already know, load up Marvel vs. Capcom in your main emulator. Or if you've got it on the Dreamcast, I probably wouldn't hide much to the PlayStation version. Just get to Onslaught and you tell me that guy is not cheap. The guy has SNK boss syndrome written all over it, and he's probably one of the most sufferance of cases from it. But that guy's just insanely hard. There was one character in Marvel vs. Capcom which leads on to another one of their franchises, wasn't there?
Yeah, and I can't forget what it's called. She's called out of Darkstalkers.
Was Morrigan Adzelen or something strange like that. Yeah, Darkstalkers. I think they Capcom wanted to have a bit of a change from thing. They were producing the Street Fighter games. Now Darkstalkers started cropping up roughly when Street Fighter Alpha was coming out.
No, actually, the first time I ever played the first one, because that's the only one I've ever played, it was at the same time when Super Street Fighter Turbo was arcade, they had the Darkstalkers as well. And the first time I played it, I actually thought, oh, it's just Street Fighter, but they put vampires and Frankenstein and shit in it.
It is. That was always my first premise when I first got it, because I remember the first time I played Darkstalkers, I got the Darkstalkers 3 on the PlayStation. I thought it's another Street Fighter clone. I always picked up Street Fighter clones or everything. Let's just say it was only after, so I sat there and found it's like, wow, this is actually different. Your moveset is roughly the same sort of thing, but the way that the super bars work and everything else like that was very, very different. Now, one of the things that got me is the character designs. I did like the designs of the characters. Whereas with Street Fighter, they're all basically various muscled up sort of warriors and the usual cliche type of fighters, which you'd imagine from where they're from. But Darkstalkers was great because there were some nice basic cliche characters, yeah. But then you also had some other strange ones. It's like you look at, I think it's Riku, the sort of merman, stalk crab sort of guy. And then I think one of the best ones, one called BB Hood. Basically, she's probably one of the most amusing ones I've seen. And she looks like a little Red Riding Hood. When you move her forward, she sits and goes, la, 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 la. And then if you're doing it backwards, and then you suddenly pull forward, she like whips a rocket launcher out of her, out of her picnic basket. Or if you do the down and hard punch, she like lifts her skirt up and kicks a landmine out from underneath it.
Oh, I don't think I've seen that one.
Oh, is it? I think it's in Darkstalkers 2 onwards.
Ah, right, and, that's spoiling, yeah.
Yeah, if you do her forward heavy punch, she pulls out an Uzi and sprays the person with it. Another one, I think one of her super moves is she sits there. I think it's called like crying for mother is called the move, but she like dives at the person, grabs her, and you see her like repeatedly knifing the person up while crying. Yeah. And like, once the pool of tears falls on the floor, she jumps in the air and throws them into it. But it's just the fact this like this little girl sitting there hacking someone up with a carving knife, and I'm like, that is just weird. But Darkstalkers was a really nice take on the whole Street Fighter sort of thing, and did prove a nice amount of differences in gameplay to warrant it to be different and to warrant its existence. What can you remember about that one?
Well, as I say, I only played it in the arcade, and I think I had the first one on the PlayStation, and I thought it was good, but I just, from what I remember, to be fair, I didn't think it was that much different from Street Fighter, but that's not necessarily a bad thing because I like Street Fighter anyway.
Yeah, I could always say it's a good thing to stay close, but those subtle differences, I think there was enough differences to separate Street Fighter from Darkstalkers. So people just kind of go, oh, it's just another clone. No, it's not. Sit down, play it. You'll come to realise it's not just another clone. I think that there is a sense of humour in Darkstalkers as well.
Yeah, but I mean, if something works, then obviously it can work again and people will rip it off.
Oh, of course. Oh, you know a game I forgot to put on the list?
What's that?
Introduce us to Pocket Fighter, mate.
Pocket Fighters, yeah. Someone said that, actually. I've only played it on the PlayStation, and I think I've played it recently on MAME. I should have played it more, actually. But Pocket Fighters is really good. They're sort of, like, really small, drawn the same way as they are on Super Puzzle Fighters 2 Turbo, where they're, like, little kids, aren't they, basically? That's what they look like. And they do some, like, quite bizarre moves and that, and it's a good take on Street Fighter, but I personally... I'm not that much of a fan of it, but it is quite a decent game.
I think they were looking for something a little different and something a bit of fun, but I think another thing with that game is the attention to detail. Is when you start doing the combos, every time you score a hit, then when you do the next hit, the characters' costumes will change.
Yeah.
On the image, so it's like you look at Chun-Li, like one of her ones, she like hits once, then on the second one she'll swap to like Jun from Star Gladiator, and then on another one she'll sit there and she'll change, then she'll be Jill from Resident Evil.
Oh right, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and the same with Felicia, she'll do a few combos and then she'll turn into like Mega Man.
Oh right.
For a slide sort of attack, and they all add that thing. I think one of the comical moves you like is the way that Ken gets a donkey and kicks him.
Yeah, that's right. That's pretty good.
No, it was a nice simplified version of Street Fighter, and it was easy. It was fun to play. But as I say, Pocket Fighter is another great one from Capcom. Right, what's next on the list then, Mel?
Then we've got the versus SNK series.
Capcom versus SNK.
I think the first one's Millennium Fight.
Yep, and the second one, well, it came under two names. One was Millionaire Fighting.
And yeah, that's the second one, I think.
Yeah, it was Millionaire Fighting, and then next they changed it to Mark of the Millennium or something like that.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. But when I saw that they were going to do this, because I was a big SNK King of Fighters fan, I was like, oh god, yeah, I nearly orgasmed at the thought of that. I was like, my god, this is going to happen. But what do you remember of it, mate?
It on the Dreamcast, and I thought it was really good. But at the time, I didn't own a Dreamcast, so I only played it by my friend's house. Since then, I've actually played the PlayStation version of it, and that's not too bad neither. It's obviously nowhere near as good as the Dreamcast one, but it doesn't have as bad loading delays as some of the Street Fighter games on it.
Yeah, that was good. The PlayStation version of that was actually handled a lot better than what the versus games were. It was, but it was just at the time. I know even in the community of gaming online there was the big debate who had the better characters. Was it the Capcom universe? Was it the SNK universe? So Capcom decided to work with SNK and said, you know what, we'll create the game that brings it all together.
And then they've done that Chaos one as well, didn't they? But I don't think that's old enough neither, and I didn't think much to that. I know people like it, but...
Yeah, I that was SVC Chaos, and that was SNK's version of it.
Ah, right, yeah, it was on the Neo Geo.
Yeah, because that was done predominantly by SNK, whereas the other one was done predominantly by Capcom. So yeah, I enjoyed both sides of the field work because they both had two very different gameplays. The aspect of Capcom versus SNK was basically just a meeting of the two. And so of course SNK opted for all their best characters and Capcom chose possibly their best characters as well. The only thing that annoyed me is when the second one came out, Capcom vs SNK 2, that was around 2000-2001, they didn't put my favourite character from the King of Fighters series in, and that was basically an insult.
Yeah, and it was all that one had 3D backgrounds, I think, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, that used 3D backgrounds, which actually didn't make the game look bad. It actually kept it going. The only thing that really made the game look bad, in my own opinion, was the rehash of the Capcom sprites.
Yeah, the same from the year before.
Mm. And then some new sprites from here, some new sprites from this game. And you're like, eh.
Is that the, is that? Yeah, that is the one. Uses Ryu and Ken sprite from Street Fighter 3, I think.
Yeah. I think they used Chun-Li's one as well.
Yeah.
Then, of course, they've used everyone else's from Alpha, and then the newer characters had new sprites done, and you're like thinking, it's like,
yeah, look, Eagle's sprites were new, weren't they? Because obviously, that's the first game he was in since Street Fighter, the first one.
Yep, Mackie's was new as well.
Yeah, it was just lazy how they'd just done that. That's the thing that, like, ruined it, really. I think Andy spoke about that before.
Yeah, so yeah, they got a bit lazy because you look at, they had to create all new sprites for the SNK characters. They had to because they didn't have anything to work with. So I'm not thinking, as I said, as you know, something, you lazy little bastards, you could have done new sprites for all of them.
Yeah, and it's only a couple of the Capcom characters that they did do new sprites because, like I said, Eagle didn't have one, only in Street Fighter 1.
Yeah, so, and could you imagine if they shortcut on that one and put Eagle Street Fighter 1 sprite in there?
Well, you can get this, you ever seen that Mugen? Is it Mugen?
Yeah.
Where you can, like, add sprites from different games and that, and it's total shit, I think. It's a complete waste of time.
It's dependency. If the character's been made well, then it works, but there's a lot of characters out there where they've done it and they're not balanced, they're just really, really bad. But if you could find a nice collection of characters, it's perfect. You could get yourself a nice balanced game out of the whole thing.
I don't dislike the idea, it's just when I've played they don't fit together at all, do they? And that game is sort of in a way, and that's what that reminds me of that.
It comes to the point with Amuja, it's good if you're working on a project where you're working from scratch and then you're not going to have to worry about it. But as far as it goes, you really need to get similar-looking characters, and if you don't have the good ones, you're going to have an unbalanced game, and it's just not going to be enjoyable as far as Mugen's concerned. Even with the graphical problems with Capcom versus SNK, I can't see the game. The game wasn't bad, not at all.
No, not a bad game.
Yeah, I did like the system in the first one where you had 4 points, and like certain characters were worth 1 point, another character would be worth 2 points, or there'd be a boss character that would be worth 3, or if you unlocked Evil Ryu and Blood Rite Iori, they were worth 4 points.
Oh, right, I don't think I ever unlocked them. As I say, when a game, I think I had that on PlayStation 2, the second one. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. Yeah, and it was good, but I didn't think it was that good.
The one thing that it suffered the same thing as what PlayStation 1 Street Fighter games, of those horrible, horrible borders.
Yeah, the PAL borders, yeah, because that's before, well, a lot of games you could have like 60 hertz, but some of them you couldn't.
Yeah, I can't remember if there was a 60 hertz option on that one, but
I don't think there was, you know. I'm not 100% sure. It's a game that I still don't have because I got rid of it.
Yeah, you know what I say? Hurry up and emulate that damn game. apparently it is emulatable through a Dreamcast emulator, but hey, I don't know.
It on the Dreamcast. I've got it on the Dreamcast.
I'm coming around to your house, I'm going to rob it.
Yeah, I've got it somewhere. I don't know where it is, but I've definitely got it. I've got a few Dreamcast games, actually.
Did you see that guy's picture in the forum of his setup?
No, I don't think I have.
Oh, as soon as you get a chance, go into the forum. There's a guy in there who's got his gamer set up for all his machines. Oh, man, it is mental.
That's the thing, because most of mine aren't actually set up. It's only the PS2, the 360 and the PC that are linked up. The rest of them ain't.
Because I've got my own place, I'm going to have one room just dedicated to old school.
Yeah.
You're going to walk in and it's going to sing Hallelujah as you walk in. I'm going to be that sad. I'm a geek and I'm proud of it. let us all rise.
So do you own a Dreamcast?
No, I don't. Sadly enough, I don't.
Yeah, because that's the only console I've got I don't really bloody use, to be totally honest with you.
Shame on you, shame on you.
Well, it's not like, it's just that I've never been able to get one of them SCART leads, and now you link it up to a HD telly with a RF lead, it looks complete shit.
Yeah, it's true. But have a look on eBay, they've got all sorts of cables and stuff like that on sale there.
Yeah, I'll have to, yeah. Apparently you can get a thing so you can link it up so it's HD.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. Nice step-up converter. Let's talk Street Fighter the movie.
Oh, God. Well, that's got two versions. I played the PlayStation version first. I've even got that again. I got it for, I think, £2.50 or £1.50, something like that, from a charity shop. And it was one of the games that, if you bought the PlayStation the day it came out, yeah, I think this was, I can't remember, it was September something or another. I might be totally wrong. It was in 1995 anyway. So I got my friend to drive me down there after work to Toys R Us because they were giving away Street Fighter the movie free with a PlayStation if you bought it that day.
Oh, that's probably the worst things you could ever get with your PlayStation.
See, I didn't know what it was like. I'd obviously seen the film. I'd never played the arcade game. And in writing, you know, Street Fighter with 3D, digitised characters. They're not 3D, obviously. I don't know why I said that. It don't sound, because it works for Mortal Kombat.
No, 3D didn't work for Mortal Kombat. Did you play Mortal Kombat?
No, what I meant is, you know, digitised actors, like, on a Street Fighter type game, does work for Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I just, when I just saw that game originally, I'm like thinking, what a fucking mess. What a mess. And it wasn't until I got MAME and they said on the MAME list of the race, oh, guess what? We've now got Street Fighter the movie running. I was like, let's have a look at this. This can't be too. Oh my God, that's heinous. It's just like you're just sitting there like, oh man. That's the sort of game you wouldn't even give your worst enemy.
Well, the thing with that, I mean, I've seen a video on the making of it sort of thing. And a lot of the, like, say you're Kylie Minogue and you're Jean-Claude Van Damme, they're body doubles for most of the moves and everything. So that's why on the PlayStation version, you can tell, like, that it's not actually him or it's not Kylie Minogue. And the sprites are that badly digitised to try and hide that it's not actually them.
Yeah, that's the whole point of that one. And come on, guys, seriously, if you want to see Kylie Minogue's ass, you don't need to watch that film. All you need to, she prides herself on her rear end, yeah? All you need to do is just sit there and just go watch any of her music videos. Trust me, it's probably more interesting than watching the Street Fighter movie anyway.
And another thing with that as well, obviously, like, they had to do it with Raul Julia at a body double for him because he had died by then. So that with that character, obviously, that's not him. That's some, I don't know what the guy's name is. So you can tell it's not Raul Julia anyway by just looking at it.
Yeah, as I was saying, it's like, well, what do you mean? You can imagine just looking at the game. What do you mean we can't have Raul Julia? Okay, condolences to the family. you just imagine some belling getting that wrong.
I do think the arcade version is better than the PlayStation one though, because that the arcade version sort of plays like, well, they both sort of play like Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, but don't look nowhere near as good. And having real actors on that, jumping as high as they do, it's like they've got no gravity. It just doesn't, I don't know, it's got to be the worst Street Fighter game, I think.
And what about your gripe with Akuma?
Oh, he looks ridiculous. Have you ever seen him on it? The guy they've got playing him looks completely ridiculous.
Oh, dearie me. He does look like an absolute bellend. And they didn't even use Akuma in the film.
No, he's not in the film at all. And Fei Long's not in neither, the game or the film. And you've got this guy called Swada. He's in the film for like 2 seconds or something. And he's like one of the characters in the PlayStation port of it.
And then you look at it and it's like, oh, look, here's T-Hawk. That's not T-Hawk. He's 4 foot too short and 2 foot too thin.
T-Hawk's in... He might be in the PlayStation version. I'm not 100% sure, but I don't think he's in the arcade. And Dalsim's not in neither.
Yeah, I know, because can you imagine them trying to put that in?
Yeah.
Where did that go horribly wrong? I think they should get hold of the director of that film and get Akuma to come in and give him the Shangusatsu.
See, like I said before, you'd think any video game, if you do a movie on it, it should be the easiest script you've ever written. Because the story, especially something with Street Fighter, which has got, like, a lot of a storyline to it. So it should be the easiest script they've ever written.
Yeah, because it's there for you.
Yeah, it's all there for you. I mean, you know what I mean? It should be exactly. hard for them to do it. But no, they decided to come up with some shit about a war and just completely ruin the entire thing, like, basically. Yeah.
So we'll re-emphasise our top tip for this one. Go and watch the animated movie, the very first
like
one.
Yeah, like we said before.
And it's because if there's one thing you should watch that film for anything, Chun Li's boobs! Woohoo!
I think that were cut out of the video one. I'm not 100% sure. I know the DVD's got the uncensored one as well.
I had a copy of that years ago, and that had Chun Li's boobs in it.
Ah, right. I might be wrong then.
Yeah, see?
I know the one on the game censored, because you can get that on the PlayStation 2... Hyper Street Fighter 2, some silly like version of that, which obviously is not worth mentioning. Mind you, it is emulated on MAME as well.
Yeah, that's true. But then you think about this, they take away the scene where you see Chun-Li's boobs, but then they still keep the scene where Vega's hacking at a bit.
Yeah.
Where is the justice, mate? Seriously, where is the justice? So, for your film viewing for this Fortnite, boys and girls, go get a Street Fighter the animated movie. Avoid the rest, just get that one.
With animated movies that they converted to proper films, they've ruined Fist of the North Star as well.
Oh no, I do not even want to talk about that.
You ever seen that?
Yeah, that was just
horrendous. The guy they got playing him, that Gary Daniels, I mean, he's quite a decent martial artist and that, but he can't do accents or anything for shit. He just talks in these, I think he comes from somewhere in London, I'm not 100% sure, but he sort of sounds like South African. He's been in other films and people have said, oh, is he South African? Because he doesn't even try doing accents. And usually they say, like, English actors are good at doing, like, accents, well, he ain't.
Oh, dearie me. No, that film was, that was just...
horrendous, yeah.
Yeah.
Complete mess.
We'll have to look into some Fist of the North Star games soon, mate.
Oh, yeah, I was watching a video on them earlier, but I'll talk about that another time.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely good cartoons, anyway.
But, that, like I say, people, that's the 2D side to Capcom and their fighting. There was a couple of other games as well. Cyberbots Full Metal Madness, that was another one of theirs. That wasn't a bad game.
I've never played that.
Oh, big robots sitting there going one-on-one with each other. That's also, if you play Marvel vs. Capcom, that's where Jin Satomi come from.
All right, I didn't know.
Because I sat there wondering, so I was like, where the hell has this character come from? I've heard this character. Then this is when the CPS2 boards were just being decrypted.
Yeah.
And so Marvel vs. Capcom was one done first. I was like, I know where Captain Commando comes from. I know where you come from. I know where you come from. Where in the blue hell does this Jin Satomi come from? Guess what the next one they decrypted was?
What?
Cyberbots. So on his set, it goes, I've not heard this. Well, let's have a look at this. Oh, look, it's Jin. Oh, now I know where he comes from, at least.
Didn't they have a Mega Man fighting game? But that was shit, as far as I remember.
That was basically, the Mega Man one was just basically one-stop boss fights.
Yeah.
Where I can describe it. But I'm not saying no more about the Mega Man one, because I'm going to be covering Mega Man with Will soon. So don't want to put too many spoilers down on it. Right, I got a question for you, mate.
Yeah.
What do you reckon are your best and your worst Street Fighter characters?
The best ones, I always have either Ken or Akuma, or Bison. Sometimes I do like Bison as well.
Why those guys, though?
Because they're the easiest ones to use. Akuma's like... Because I never used to have Akuma, but since Street Fighter 4, I always have Akuma as well, on all of them, because Akuma can do mid-air fireballs, and I like his super moves.
Oh, yeah, you were surprised when we was playing Street Fighter 4 the other day. You chucked the air one and I pinged it back at you.
Yeah, we've done the double air one. Yeah, yeah, she picked both of them back, Rose did.
Yeah, and I think the words that came out of your mouth was, oh, shit. Because that was a surprise, because even I didn't realise I could do that.
No, so I thought she could only do it if it's the one.
Yeah, I caught both of them and I was like, oh, that is awesome.
I don't think she can ping the fire ones back. I'm not 100% sure.
She can if she uses the X version of it.
Ah, right.
So she can ping the free hit ones back. But like I say, Ken is a staple favourite to anyone's. But when it comes to Ryu stroke Ken, I'm always on Ryu's side. Sorry.
Yeah, a lot of people do. Something we did actually forget to mention, which I've said before, originally on Street Fighter 2, the only main difference is Ken does the roll when he throws them and Ryu just kicks them straight over his head.
Well, look at it. Ken's American. What do you expect? He wants to do the things that one bit better, doesn't he? No, but Ryu, Ken, definitely some of the best ones. I do like the way they introduced Akuma in Super Street Fighter, because for years and years and years, Bison was the man that taunted the arcade players, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And everyone knew, it was like, they'll get through the game, but when they knew they got the Bison, they knew they were in trouble. It's like, then they think, it's like, who could they do it? And then the good players, and all of a sudden this guy just comes in and just wipes out Bison in a single hit. And then, like, Akuma's standing there before you, and, like, first off, it's like, wow, who's this guy? It's like, he didn't even have a portrait.
No, he doesn't on the first one, no. Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, no. I think. First one he was in.
Yeah, if you select him on screen, he's just a silhouette.
Yeah, I don't know how you did a cheat to select him on that. I can't remember. You got to highlight some of them for 2 seconds and then do it a certain way or something.
Yep, and then you could play as... I think one of the things he calls the Master of Fists.
Yeah.
Or he comes under many names. One particularly for I enjoy is one called Psycho.
There's loads of people used to lie about, like, characters that apparently are on Street Fighter 2 and that. Apparently, if you beat everyone for perfect, you fight Sheng Long, who's got a baseball bat or some shit, which obviously isn't true.
Yeah, that's not true. He actually came up with Super Street Fighter 4.
Yeah, what's Gouken. He called? Yeah, Gouken, who's Akuma's brother as well, apparently. Yeah. And he's rubbish, I think.
No. If you're good with it, I've got a friend, he's very good with him. And he can sit there. I've seen him grab hold of people as he's thrown them up into the air. He's then used the vertical whirlwind kick to keep him up there.
Oh, it's good how he can do the upwards fireballs.
Yeah, Gouken is good. If you're good with him, he is good. He is very good. But if you don't know how to use him, he's a master. What do you expect?
Yeah.
So I don't expect a guy like this to be declared as this is the guy that taught Ryu and Ken. This is the man. So I don't expect him to be an easy sort of character. But Bison, yeah, I'm a privy to Bison as being one of the best characters. He was just such a great boss character.
Oh yeah, definitely the best boss character I think out of any of the Street Fighter games. Because what you got in the first Street Fighter, you got Sagat. Sagat is pretty good, to be fair.
Yeah, close run. You just said your favourite catch line.
Yeah, I said that a few times, if you noted. No, I don't think you said things like that yet.
No, and well, I won't be cutting them out either.
It's all good in the long run then.
I swear to God, I'm going to do that for charity one day with Andy. We're going to do a podcast together, and every time I say things like that, and all my other characters, I'm going to donate to charity, I swear I will.
Yeah. What was your about with the characters?
Yeah, and best and worst ones. Dan!
Yeah, Dan's rubbish.
Let us bow down to all that sucks to Dan. And that one. But you know how he came about being a offshot of Ryo, didn't he? Where Capcom were just taking the mickey out of him, weren't they?
Yeah, because he does the same sort of moves as what Ryo does on Art Fighting. Yeah. Who sort of is a rip-off of Ken, like a ginger Ken.
Ginger is evil. Not really, people.
Well, Akuma's got ginger hair, ain't he? And you can have him with ginger hair.
No, I swear it's red. I swear to God it's red. Yeah, I think it's definitely red. Or it's grey, one of the two colours now. I'm not too sure. What colour is it in Super Street Fighter 4?
It's either red or ginger. I'm not 100% sure. I can't remember.
What's your affliction to ginger?
I haven't got one, really. I don't know. It's just like that episode of South Park where I'm on about, like, the ginger one. Ginger kids. You seen that one?
Yeah.
Ginger people have no souls.
Eric Cartman is just the epitome of all evil, I swear to God.
He's my favourite character, isn't it? He's funny, I think.
That's what he's supposed to be. He's the most evil, narcissistic piece of crap that's ever walked in the face of the planet, but it's just so damn funny, and the way he goes about things. But Dan, as part of one of the worst characters on there, yeah. But the thing is, I find, even though he is... his sort of hurricane kick is crap, his fireball doesn't go somewhere, he does have a latent ability in his combos, rack up a lot of damage.
Yeah.
Very, very fast. And he's also the guy that can actually taunt anytime he wants.
Yeah.
He could do it more than once. And I was like, you sit there, you press down and taunt. You can jump and taunt. You can roll, you do fireball and press taunt, he'll roll forward and taunt. You do the fireball backwards, he'll roll backwards and taunt. And then you got you, when you have Street Fighter for free, when you activate the Vism, you then do custom combo taunting. And then he's even got the level 3 super taunt as well. And oh, as he sits there, he just rolls forward like, rah, rah. And then he jumps in the air like, yahoo! And then he says, gives him the thumbs up. Like, I'm like, that is just awesome. That's beyond scale. It's even in Super Street Fighter 4 when you launch his super move. He lands all the punches, and as the camera's turning around, you see him facing the camera with this great big grin on his face and his thumb up. even though he sucks as a character, Dam is awesome in other areas. But if we go back, other useless characters, Birdie from Street Fighter Alpha.
Yeah, he's rubbish. Dalsim, I don't like Dalsim.
Yeah, I tried to put some love for Dalsim. I really, really can't.
I think he got better when he could do a teleport on that, but originally he was useless, weren't he? Unless you're playing the US Gold versions where he's the best character in the game because you can kick him and they can't even block it or anything.
Yeah, who rinsed that bug through? I can't really think of any other bad sort of characters there's been. Oh, I'm sorry, I take about half of the Street Fighter 3 roster.
Yeah, that's another reason why that doesn't work. Hugo's all right, though.
Yeah, Hugo, once...
Sean, neither have.
No, Sean needs to... Ken needs to get hold of Sean and Dragon Punch his head off, I swear to God.
Yeah, he's useless character, weren't he?
I know. I know he's Ken's apprentice, but I'm pretty sure he could have picked someone better than that.
He don't do any of his moves or anything, though. That's the thing.
No, he's sort of Dragon Punch. He goes up with two fists, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this is like, you're just crap, go away. And his hurricane kickstart thing is like Dan's. I've noticed that now.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
He does, don't he?
Yeah, and he can only do a fireball if it's his super art. And even then it's so small, Ken could probably sit there, bend over and blow a bigger fireball out of his butt. Swear to God.
And the ending's on Street Fighter 3 shit as well.
Yeah, I give it that one.
On Street Fighter 2, they end with decent endings, like... And in Street, you got Street, like, Ken, and then he gets married and that, yeah? In Street Fighter 3, what's he get? His son punches him in the bollocks. That's a great ending, ain't it?
Great ending for that one. Character I have actually come to like, Zangief. I think he's made a great sort of evolution to being a character in Street Fighter 2 to being totally useless. And he's now a pretty damn good character.
Yeah.
I do like Zangief now because they adapted him, so when he goes for his pole drives, he can now lunge forward to grab people. He's got that big glowing hand bitch slap thing, which he can... And they've just really, really made him a much better character and deserves a bit of love by the fans because he's nothing compared to what he used to be. Absolutely nothing.
No, because he used to be total crap.
Yeah, every time he come out, it's like, your next opponent, Zangief. Next round, please.
Yeah, because all you had to do is just jump and kick. No matter what difficulty it's on, you get him pretty much every time.
Yeah, or if you're playing Ryu or Guile or if it like, just pepper him with fireballs.
Yeah.
Other characters don't like. I just don't know what. I just don't like DJ. I really, really don't.
I don't mind DJ, actually, because I think he's pretty good.
He probably could be if you sit to it, but there's only one thing that comes with it. When I think DJ, I think, well, there's a stereotype.
Yeah, because he even gets some maracas out when he wins as well sometimes.
Yeah, I know. I'm like thinking this. I was like, yeah, could you just be any more stereotypical of that one? It's just like, I could probably imagine there's some Jamaicans that don't like music. I imagine, even though it's a great country in music, he's just a horrible, horrible stereotype. They could have done something better with him, in my own honest opinion. But I think that's possibly the bad, the worst, unless you could think of anyone else. Oh yeah, everyone from Street Fighter the movie. There you go. they're all bad.
Yeah, all the extra characters are terrible, like Blade and that Swaldo. As I said before, he's completely useless.
Yeah, Sawada, who are you? Second question, do we care? We here at the Retro Resistors do not take responsibility for Street Fighter the movie, though we will tell you not to play it.
Or watch the film.
Yeah. In fact, I could actually personally recommend cutting your throat than watching the film. Yeah, it's bad.
To be fair, I don't think the Resident Evil films are much better, neither. I've only seen the first two, and they were
No, don't get me into that. Do you like them, then? No.
Exactly, that's what I mean.
Okay, so
it's like bizarrely, because like the Evil Dead games ain't very good. Yeah, the second ones are probably the best one, but the films are really good. Whereas Resident Evil the games are really good, but the films are total shit. Forgot to mention as it goes, all the films like Street Fighter and the Resident Evil films are the only computer game films that are totally paid for by Capcom. Because you know, all the other like game movies are not financed by the actual companies that deliver games, whereas I think the first one that ever was is Street Fighter movie. Capcom paid for it totally.
Yeah, I bet they wish they took their money back and strangled the director.
They don't care, because every time it's shown on a telly, they make money from it.
Yeah, but you think about this, you look at it, it's like, you directed Die Hard, now you've done this.
Yeah.
As I say, it goes, yeah, and it makes you wonder why they got some anime studio in Japan to sit there and do the job properly, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you look at history unfolding, is it? The Street Fighter film was crap, Capcom did their own version. The Resident Evil films are rubbish, Capcom did their own version, which was better.
Yeah.
So, double Dutch door action, I swear.
Saying that about things that are funny, though, about computer games, movies, did you see Swaney's face when I said, oh, I like the Double Dragon film? I don't think it's like, it is shit, like, don't get me wrong, but I don't think it's that bad. It's better than it's watchable as a kid's movie. Okay. It's got nothing to do whatsoever, really, with the actual games and that. But I didn't think it was that bad when I've seen it.
Oh, I think Swenny was about to skewer you with his iPhone. Well, everyone, I hope you've enjoyed our look over some of the other franchises which Capcom did for fighting games. And hey, guess what? They're not all bad.
No.
No, so definitely worth... you could probably pick these games up cheap, and 90% of them are emulated. So fire up MAME and go punch someone in the face. Preferably without being arrested. So that's all that one. Right. Shall we delve into the forum of the Retro Asylum? Because I think there's a couple of questions there, isn't there? Go from Jack-O-Lanterns.
So, yeah, that's right. Are there any games you didn't play when they were originally released and that you have emulated, realised how much you love them and wished you had the original console or computer?
Ooh. Toughy.
Well, if it's about a system, yeah, the Neo Geo straight away.
Yeah, I could probably pretty much say the same thing, mate. Any game that was released on the Neo Geo.
Yeah, because most of the games on it, apart from the King of the Fighters ones, are good.
I will make you play King of Fighters.
Like I said before, the only King of the Fighters I do like is on the Neo Geo Pocket. Right. Well, technically, isn't Fatal Fury sort of King of the Fighters?
Technically, it is officially part of the storyline, but there's debate about the whole thing.
Because the first one's even called Fatal Fury, King of the Fighters.
The King of Fighters, yeah. It was. There is a... There is the thing, because you got King of Fighters 94 going up to now. Technically, Fatal Fury 1 and Fatal Fury 2 are part of that canon.
Yeah.
Being it with what goes on there. For me, I say yes. I would say it's part of the canon, because it could simply go, because Fatal Fury was basically just set in a town.
Yeah.
Fatal Fury 2 went worldwide. Then that would explain why King of Fighters 94, when it came in, then went to a worldwide audience, and the whole competition in the storyline was a worldwide affair. So,
plus it's got the characters in.
Yeah, because Fatal Fury 3 doesn't follow the King of Fighters canonicity.
See, I don't... 3's alright. I've got that on the PC, and that is alright. 4... Which one's 4? Is there 4? No, that's special. Well, special is technically like 2, ain't it?
But yeah, it's an advanced version of
2. Yeah, and then you've got when it goes Real Bout and all those ones as well.
Real Bout is when Fatal Fury got good, but the top one is Garo, Mark of the Wolves.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I like that.
That is really good.
I do like the Fatal Fury games, and I do like the Art of Fighting games as well. I just don't like King of the Fighters.
I'm going to give you the ROM set, sit down and play them, where you don't have to sit and wait 6 hours for each fight to load.
But saying that, I've got Fatal Fury, Real Bout Fatal Fury on the PlayStation, which takes forever to load, and I like that.
Yeah, I'll give you the ROM set. Trust me, instant loading.
Yeah.
And Real Bout Fatal Fury 2 is just fucking fantastic.
Yeah, that is really good. I do think... I don't like the 3D one, though. That's shit.
No, that was cack. Even SNK admitted that was cack.
On the Hyper 64, I think. I've only ever played it on the PlayStation port of it, which isn't very good.
Yeah, I think it's called Fatal Fury Wild Ambition or something like that.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah. So to answer your question, Jack-O-Lantern... Well, so basically anything on the Neo Geo system.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about other consoles and that, because I've pretty much had all of them.
Yeah, pretty much that one. And we practically had all the best sort of games. There isn't nothing to come across. Right, what's the next question, matey?
This one's from Daydream. Just wondering if you or anyone you know has gaming tattoos, and if so, what are they? If not, would you get? Call me mad, but I'm thinking of getting a Space Invaders somewhere.
I don't have any gaming tattoos. I don't think you do, do you, mate?
No, I don't have no tattoos. I was going to get one, and because the story of that is, when I was going to get it, I was 15 and the bastards wouldn't get me. But I was hoping I would have one, yeah. And I've never, I don't know why, I just haven't bothered since. I don't dislike tattoos, it's just that the thing is with a tattoo, you've got it forever.
Mm. Well, there is ways of removing it.
Yeah, though, really expensive ways.
Yeah, of course, because they're going to be able to charge people up the rear end for it.
Yeah.
but for me, would I have any sort of character? Would I have one? That's a tough choice. If I would have one, I'd probably have a little Dizzy somewhere or something like that.
I was going to get, you know, that picture I've got on my Skype, which people can't see. That one from Splatterhouse. So we're going to get.
Oh yeah. I said, oh no, tell you what, you want the one that's on the cover of the. Or the one they used during the promo on the PS3 version, you know, the big one of him all psyching out in a bit. That's what you want on your back. Then you sit there and have some woman see that and think, oh, wow, that guy's a bit mental.
If I did get one, I'd only get it on my arm or something. I wouldn't get it, like, on my back or. Because some people have, like, massive. I do like what Vega's got, though.
Yeah, the sort of snake.
And, Snake Plissken's got, like, Snake, I like that as well.
Mm.
Even though it changes in both the films, but. We'll leave that. Yeah, we'll pretend we didn't see that.
as far as goes, if you want to talk to a man that has tattoos,
yeah, Andy's got them.
Yep, and Andy's the man. If you kindly leave a message under here, which ones he's got, Percy, I don't want to know if there's anywhere we shouldn't really want to know.
But you could definitely notice he's got them, can't you?
Oh yeah, definitely. So and I think he wants more as well. He's going to come back with Dizzy tattooed on his butt. I swear to God, he is. Or is either that, or he's gonna end up renaming himself to Dizzy. That's what I could just imagine him doing something like that. Okay, dokies. Right, let's move on. Let's run down to iTunes, shall we? See if we got anybody else on there.
Yeah.
Right now, you spoke about our first two that was on there, didn't you?
Yeah. Right. In fact, there's one that's on YouTube, which we done when we recorded this before. I've got to find it. It's on one of your. It's on. Let's have a look.
Yep, I've got it here.
Oh, you got it on your channel?
Yep, I've got it on my channel. Give us a second. Right. This is a special one from Benza71. This is quite a good comment to go through. It says, downloading your show on podcast. So I can listen to it whilst I go for a run. It's the only thing that motivates me to keep me going. Keep up the good work, guys. You are single-handedly stopping me from becoming a fat bastard. Seriously, though. Great topic, and I look forward to each show as you do. Thank you very much, Benzo. I'm glad you're enjoying the show. And great comment you've left there for us, mate. Really do appreciate it. It shows that our hard work is paying off and that we are pleasing the people. Makes me sound like some sort of love god. I am pleasing the people here. Right, just checking iTunes. Bear with us as we've come unprepared at this part.
Yeah, and I don't have iTunes, so I can't check it.
Yeah. Right, coming here. Hey, it's great to see our faces on there. I'm mirroring my update, so Will's faces on there as well. Safe as there. Okay, we got a 5-star review from DJZ01. Nice, simple, great podcast for all your retro needs with the hosts that know the most. Well, I just know what I know. If I knew everything, why would I be here? I'd be God. And that one. Any comments from you, mate?
As I say, I don't have iTunes, so I can't look on iTunes.
I know.
I'll get Podomatic up.
Yay! I think we've had a few messages left from TL as well on that one. So thanks for leaving messages on Podomatic.
Yeah.
So, all good there, people. Right. Time to wrap up the show, as we've now checked out on everything. So thank you very much. Anyone you want to thank, Malk?
Yeah, everyone from Retro Solemn again. Andy, Swainy, Glenn, yourself, Will, Teal, everyone from there, and everyone from YouTube as well. And then if I've missed anyone, I do apologise.
Yep, definitely big thank you to everyone there. I say we got some great things going down at the Retro Asylum. Potty Boys tier series is going on strong. People sitting there looking at, keep up the good work, mate. You're
yeah,
that, well.
That's something I wanted to ask. What do you think of Gunstar Heroes?
I liked it. We'll end it at that.
I thought it was shit.
We'll go into that in another podcast.
Maybe Andy could talk about that on a future show, because we've only played it a few times and he didn't like it much neither.
Yeah, oh, well, we'll save that for another one, because I actually liked
it. Yeah, we're running out of time now anyway.
Yeah, I liked it. There's only a few bits on it which I found a bit bleh, but I thought it was okay. It did what it did for the day. That's all I'll say for one. Yeah, so again, like to put, I say for Potty, definitely big thank you for that one. Thanks to Will for being on. Thanks to Andy and company for keeping us hosted on the site. And he's not thrown us out the basement yet. This basement belongs to us. We will barricade it. We will defend it with our lives and possibly a mountainous wall of bad video games. So we'll put some extensions out. Podcasts, definitely some podcasts to look out for. Sign up, listen to the Gamer Dads. Definitely worth a listen to. I've practically caught up with all those guys there. Very, very good bunch of guys. Similar sort of vein to what we do. They like a good laugh. They talk about retro. They talk about old school. Yeah, they're a really, really good bunch. Definitely worth a listen. Especially for the latest episode where we actually had the host turn around, lost out for the fact that two people like Star Wars, and he basically turned around and called all his co-hosts an arseholes.
didn't they say something about Call of Duty as well? Because they talk about modern games a bit, don't they?
They have two shows. They had the Dadcast, which is the which is the modern day one. They're in mixed bag with the new modern warfare. It'll be Black Ops. They're a mixed bag of it at the moment. So, and to give you truth, honestly, I am as well, because they actually said back as a press comment that they're actually going to strip down the multiplayer.
Yeah.
So if they strip the multiplayer down, they go back to good old fashioned how it was in the first modern warfare game. You know, so I might actually consider buying it.
I won't. Because I hate them.
I liked Modern Warfare. I liked the first one. If they go back to the same sort of models which they had with Modern Warfare, then I might consider buying it. So you heard that?
I did hear something about Treyarch. What company they used to be, and they used to release some crap as well originally. I can't remember what they were called. But we'll leave that anyway. I'll have to talk about that when
we'll talk about that. Yeah. So, yeah, so if you want to listen to the Game Dads, yep, they have the Dadcast, which is all your modern day gaming needs. And they have the Retrocast, which is all their old school. And that's hosted by the main man called Moobit, who recently just subscribed to my channel. So, Moobit, if you're listening, thanks very much, mate. Also, the Odd Pod, give this guy some love. He's a one-man army at the moment, so he's going to try and entertain us with his take on anything that's all retro, including retro toys.
Yeah.
So that one. And also Arcade and Retro as well. A group of Irish guys and an Irish lass who are out there sit there talking about some topics which they got there. They're actually very, very factual as well. They pulled out a whole host of stuff that I didn't realise and even I didn't know. They're definitely worth a listen to if you get spare time. They're all on iTunes, so if you want to, if you've got iTunes, you can subscribe through there. And also, if you listen to this from the Retro Asylum, there are links from the Retro Asylum to the other podcasts as we speak. All right, so that's the show for this fortnight. Thank you very much. I'm going to say goodbye.
Yeah, it's Bob from Winterfell. Thanks for listening.